Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a New Day radio show where the dialogue is authentic, host is passionate, and we help you to become empowered, inspired, resilient, and transformed. Yes, our focus is to change our world by transforming one business and one life at a time. Now, here is your host, author, columnist, reinvention coach, entrepreneur, teacher, and speaker, Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson.
Well, happy fall, everybody. I hope you are taking the opportunity to enjoy the changing leaves in our community. I can't believe I'm saying happy fall already. It's like the older we get, the swifter these months go by. So we just need to slow down, take a deep breath, and just enjoy all the beauty that nature presents. I'm excited about being on the air this morning, and I have a few due diligence and housekeeping I need to do, but I'll do that after we play our theme song. So enjoy.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend. I wanna be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they won't understand.
Well, this past weekend it was such an eye-opening weekend for me, and it just affirmed the importance of relationships in our lives. And I want to give you a heads up. This morning, we're going to talk about entrepreneurs' secret to creating wealth, and also I'm going to be sharing 7 rules to building wealth as an entrepreneur. And these are two articles I found that were so amazing and so touching and so true to what we do. And I decide to share it with you here this morning. I'll tell you who the authors are. The Entrepreneurial Secret to Creating Wealth is from the author Chris Hearn, H-U-R-N. He's the author of that book. And the other 7 rules is from Joshua Kennan. So we're going to be sharing those. But let me just go back to the housekeeping and the due diligence. Well, I tell you, 40 plus years ago, I worked with some nurses at the St. James Hospital and the Cornwall Regional Hospital in Jamaica, West Indies. And I was privileged this past Saturday to attend a reunion dinner in New York City hosted by Nurse Ivel Fulton and her family. And I tell you, what a fabulous event, and to just be able to reminisce and go over all the amazing things we did as young women when we were just out of nursing school and living at the nurse's home and all of that. It was just amazing, and it showed me the importance of relationships. Another thing that became so insightful to me is the importance of pictures. Because one of the nurses, as Ivel showed the album of the things we did back then, and there were no pictures of her. And I reminded her that in order to have your pictures to look back on, you got to take some. And I know now a lot of times people will say, oh, don't take my picture, don't take my picture. But I tell you, it is such a beauty when you can sit back 40 years later and look at those things and have a good laughter. So I want to, I don't know whether she's listening, but whomever is listening and if you hear, I want you to relate to her how appreciative I am for her doing that and getting us together. And I'm really looking forward to us having an annual celebration where we can celebrate and enjoy life and look at the different legacies that we have all created. So again, Ivel, thank you. It was great seeing everybody. The food was delicious. And I hope you got the well-needed rest. And again, on Sunday, I want to thank Mrs. Dorothea. I think the people in Hartford call her Dottie. I want to thank her for inviting me to be part of the media panel at the Tastemakers event on Sunday up in Hartford. It was a great event. I had a good time. I meet some amazing people there. I met Dr. Bradford Howard Jr. What an honor it was, sir, to meet you. Mr. Chris MacArthur, thank you for your offer and for just coming over and extending some love. I appreciate you. And for Miss Kendria Porter, thanks for what you do and helping women to stand in their own shoes and appreciate who they are. And Natasha Samuels, it was nice meeting you in person because we've been Facebook friends for a while and we have never met, so it was an honor to meet you. And Alicia Stevens, a fabulous new young designer that I met there in Hartford, thanks for what you do. And for DJ QT, I thank you for the great music you played. And all the other amazing people, Elaine B, it was a pleasure meeting you. And I just look forward to the possibility of working with everyone there. And Mr. Lewis and Mr. Rell, thank you for the amazing work. Mr. James Lewis and Mr. Rell, thank you for the amazing work that you are all doing up there in the Hartford area. I tell you, man, Hartford reminds me of New York. They are rocking and rolling. And it's great to see people come out and support each other, and people are following through with their dreams. There were a little 9-year-old young woman there. I hope her mother get in touch with me because I really want to have her on the show here. She owns her own modeling agency at 9 years old. So it's great when you see people are following their hearts and what they were called to do. And just going gung-ho and not letting anything holds them back. So again, it was my honor to be in your company. Houston, the gentleman that released his record there, and I am looking forward to playing his music here on the radio in a few weeks. I'm having on. He is gone to he's touring in Japan and some other places. So it was great. It was an amazing event, and I'm glad I had that experience. So I want to remind you guys that the time is going. June the 14th is when we have the cruise on the Norwegian line. So email me, dynamicdaphne12@att.net. So you can get your information out so you can start your payment plan, because you have up until, I think, February to finish your payment plan. So we don't have a lot of time. So I want you to tap in and take advantage of that. Also, the breakfast feeding program, I need your support, and I need you to go to... We have a fundraising link that is set up on GoFundMe.com, and that is http://www.gofundme.com, /1. The letter G, the numeral 4, letter M, and the numeral 3 and 8. I'm going to be putting it in the chat room, so you all can go and support us there. Every little bit helps. It really does not matter how much you are donating. Just give us a little something. If it is $1 you can give, $1 will help us to feed a few children. So please, I'm looking for your support. And you go again to GoFundMe.com/1G4M38 and just support us there. The other thing I want to talk about is the National Association of Professional Women Litchfield Chapter. I am the president, coming up 1 year now, and we are looking for some amazing women who want to make a difference. So I want you to go to NAPW.com and read up all about the National Association of Professional Women, and see whether or not you are a match for the organization, and to see whether you are interested. We are meeting right now on the 4th Tuesdays at every month. We start with networking at 6 to 7, and then 7 to 8 is when we do our meetings. So you will be back home, depending on where you live, before 9 p.m. So I look forward to having you coming out. Next month's meeting, we will be having a fashion consultant to come there and talk to us about how we can rev it up. So those are my announcements. I look forward to having as many of you as I can on the cruise. So reach out and send me an email, dynamicdaphne12@att.net. So, again, as I said, it's just an honor to be here. And right now, I want to go into sharing some information. We're talking about creating our wealth and our success. And as I concentrate and reorganizing, redesigning and restructuring what I do, quite a lot of things has become evident to me. It is not as difficult as we tend to make these things. So I'm praying that you will get some insight from what I am sharing with you here this morning from this research that I have found. And this is, you know, as we read what these authors are saying, we can look back and say, this is the same thing we have heard all our lives, or for some of us, we are still hearing it. So it is just an awakening for us. So grab a pen and or grab your tablet so you can just take some notes here. And this 7 Rules for Wealth Building, Practical Keys to Amazing Investment Capital, is by Joshua Cannon. And I think this is an amazing article. And he starts off by saying, most parents want to teach their children responsibility, how to become self-sufficient and succeed in life after all. No one plans on raising a deadbeat. However, very few actually accomplish this task. Why? Because as parents, we are limited to the experiences of our past, our parents pass on to us. The equated notion that responsibility is simply getting a job, saving a little money, and maybe purchasing a car or some equally important item. Hopefully, these 7 rules will open our eyes and help to teach our children to avoid traps that have stolen financial success from many people. All right. So here we are. Joshua starts off with the first rule here in the 7 is a powerful one. You know, you probably listen and you think, well, I am not married, I'm not in a relationship, but you don't know when that will change. So I want you to take note of this as well. The first rule is of building wealth is find a financially compatible spouse. You know, a friend of mine, she always tells me when she's going to date anybody, she makes sure she do their credit check first. And she have her means of finding these things out. Okay, the biggest obstacle to obtaining wealth is often found right at home. It's yourself or your spouse. Too often, people live their lives in a manner that is not conducive to creating real wealth and then get frustrated at the system when they only really have themselves to blame. One of the most important financial decisions you will ever make is marriage. More specifically, the person you marry and the timing of your marriage. True, love is not rational, but you are going to have an enormous difficulty go in life if the person you expect to be there holding your hand is constantly frustrating your dreams, ambitions, and goals. You want someone in the same boat you are, working towards the same agenda. If you are seeking an early retirement, he or she is there helping to bring in extra income or dipping or clipping coupons to put more money away to compound. If you want to stay out of debt, he or she isn't shopping behind your back or secretly changing or charging or credit cards you don't even know exist. This isn't a new lesson. It's been around since antiquity. A house divided against itself cannot stand. A good marriage can radically accelerate our wealth building prospects. In fact, according to the research of best-selling author Dr. Thomas J. Stanley, self-made millionaires are far more likely than the general population to be and stay behind and stay married to the same spouse for life. Okay. Rule number two. And I can tell you, part of this first statement applies to me because I remember when I was younger and living in Jamaica, and I had just gotten married, and the home we were living in, we rented it, and we were only paying a small amount for the rent. It wasn't a lot. The home was owned by a construction company. And then the company decides they wanted to sell the homes, and they wanted to give first option to the people who were living in them. And my husband at the time, I was excited about the opportunity of purchasing a home. And he said to me, "Oh, we don't need to purchase it because we are still young." And I said to him, that's the reason we need to purchase the home. And I have to tell you, we purchased the home, but without him knowing, I had connections and I secured the mortgage and the down payment and all of that and purchased the home. And for a couple of years, walking around with the mortgage thing in my purse, hidden between things so he wouldn't know. He thought we were still paying rent. And, you know, no one should be in a relationship where you are doing things like that. We should be on one accord. And this is why I think this article has struck home for me, because it spoke about part of my life story. Rule number two, recognize that debt is a habit that must be broken. With a few notable exceptions, debt is a form of bondage, a disease that enslaves the borrower. A few years ago, there was a high-profile story in the news that a young lady attended college who shot herself because she couldn't pay back the $2,300 in credit card debt. Although an extreme example, it is a testament to the power money has over people's lives. Imagine your life without owing anyone anything. Your car, your house, your education, all paid for in full. Like what you see. You know, when you want it bad enough, you will make extinguishing your debt your number one priority. Does that seem impossible? It shouldn't be. In the United States, most people don't have any significant credit card debt. Likewise, nearly one out of every three homeowners has no mortgage against their property. They own it lock, stock, and barrel, without a payment in sight. Why does this seem surprising? It's a phenomenon called stress wealth. Psychologically, when people are handling their affairs responsibly, they don't want friends or family to approach them asking for money, or to treat them differently, so they are likely to discuss their finances. They are unlikely to discuss their finances in public. For those of us who work in the finance, it is shocking to see how surprised most people are when they learn that one out of every 25 households in the United States is a millionaire. That's the cold, hard, data-supported fact. Yet, people don't believe it because they have no idea that their great Aunt Bertha has silently been buying up shares of Procter & Gamble and for decades, or their cousin Bob has 40-plus years of municipal bonds shoveled in the bank safe deposit box. Okay, the lines are also open, so if you have any insight, you can call 646-915-8166. Rule number three, if you don't like where your parents were at your age, do things differently. The old cliche that insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results, holds just as true today as it did when it was originally written. If you don't like where your parents were at your age, stop what you are doing. During your childhood, they taught you all they knew about money. For many people, these early years established how they feel about their finances today. In order to become financially successful, you must do something differently than they did. Otherwise, you will end up exactly where they are. Wealth building rule number four. When you begin a job, look at the pay of the highest employee. Whether you are looking for employment now or thinking about it sometimes in the near future, one of the most important things for you to do is to look at what the top dog gets. And any company for which you are considering working, this will give you an idea of how high you can expect to climb in terms of earning a promotion. If the CEO is making $30,000 a year, you have no chance of making six figures. Select your job accordingly. Okay. I remember going to college and being surrounded with people who wanted to be artists, scientists, businessmen, but instead did what their parents and grandparents told them to do. There is no honor in being a doctor or a lawyer if you wake up every morning and hate your job. Pick a profession you love, and you'll never have to work a day in your life. Ain't that the truth? Wealth building rule number five. Do something you love and get paid for it. And that's what I just read for you. Wealth building rule number six. Understand the money myth. Money is nothing more than a piece of paper with the image of a long dead person on it. When you understand that any power it has over you is derived from your relationship with it, you suddenly become free from the constant pressures and stresses of thinking about it, especially at times such as these. If you are putting money away for 10, 15, or 20 years down the road, stop checking your portfolio every day. There is nothing you can gain for it except stress. Wealth building number 7. Your new commodities is not your labor. It's your ideas. With the advent of the internet and other technological advances, you are no longer limited to supporting yourself or making a living by your physical labor. The only limit you have on yourself now is your own imagination. Your ideas are the most valuable thing you possess. Every man, woman, and child is a salesman for a living. If you don't own a business or investment, then you sell your manual labor to a company in exchange for a paycheck. Change your product. The gap between the rich and the poor does indeed grow larger each and every passing year, but not because of inequalities or any other such injustice. Instead, it is because the rich understands money and how to use it. Capital is literally a seed. Learn how to plant it to produce the best harvest. When you do this, you will rule your finances, not the other way around. That is some powerful information there, and I just pray that you have gotten something out of it. I am just so excited. I'm just so excited about that, because it's an eye-opener for all of us. So again, if you have any insight, I want you to call in 646-915-8166. Okay. Again, the number is 646-915-8166. And now we're going to move into the entrepreneur secret to creating wealth. And this was a powerful interview. Our interview was done by ISGC, featured interview with Chris Hearn, H-U-R-N. So grab your pen and paper. And this article was written by Glenn Burr on May the 3rd of this year, 2013. When it comes to taking ownership and creating empowerment, a typical leader might take a look at their management style or maybe do an employee survey to see, to get some insight from their staff. Chris Hearn, author of The Entrepreneur Secret to Creating Wealth, has another solution, and it starts right underneath a business owner's feet. ISGC Executive Director Paul Candelora spends some time with Chris to learn about how taking real ownership of a business can change a company's course for positive. The first question they ask Chris was. Let's begin by talking about yourself so our readers can get to know you better. Could you briefly describe your entire journey until you wrote The Entrepreneurial Secret to Creating Wealth? Chris's reply, I started my first business when I was 8 years old. I mow lawns, rake leaves, and shovel snow in my neighborhood. For an 8-year-old, I made pretty good money doing that, and I learned some valuable lessons too. For instance, I fired my first customer ever, someone who was underpaying and taking advantage of me, much to my mother's chagrin. But I learned early on that my time and effort are valuable. I worked various jobs through high school and went to college at Lowell University in Chicago, where I got 2 bachelor's degrees in 4 years, graduated magna cum laude, and was the first student commenced speaker for the university. From there, I went to the University of Pennsylvania to get my master's degree, and then to Washington, D.C. to try and get a job at Capitol Hill. I was offered a number of jobs, including one from Ari F. Fancer, who was George W. Bush's press secretary. But coming from a working class background, I didn't have the means to live on that kind of salary for long. Instead, I took my ability to sell ideas and put it to work in the private sector, selling products and service. In other words, I became a sales and marketing person and got very good quickly. After working a few years as a high-tech startup before it was fashionable, recruiters came calling and I got hired away to work for GE Capital. They put me into more of a finance role, helping small businesses, which is what I enjoy since I consider myself an entrepreneur for many years and enjoy working with those types of people. Long story short, this job laid the groundwork for founding Mercantile Capital Corporation, which happened 10.5 years ago. I started working on my first book 4 years ago, but it got backburned several times. Mercantile was growing very quickly at the time, and I launched a barbershop franchise concept, Kennedy's All American Barber Club, as the Francier and a Francie. So I hired several different ghostwriters to help. Things didn't really pan out with them, and I finally lit a fire under my butt and finished it last year. ISGC, second question. How about the book? What new information does the Entrepreneur Secret of Creating Wealth offer? And why is it relevant to small giants? Hearn, no one, to my knowledge, has written a book like this about wealth creating for entrepreneurs, especially as it relates to commercial real estate ownership. There are tens of thousands of books that offer advice to entrepreneurs on how to operate their businesses, how to improve hiring practices or marketing practices or what have you, but nothing about creating a home for your business and building equity in an acceptable asset. This is relevant to small giants because the principles I describe in my book dovetail with the philosophy that you don't have to grow huge and go public to be really successful. The strategies I present are really about how to create wealth outside of our daily operations of the business, which can free business owners from feeling the constant pressure to grow at all costs that some companies get sucked into. Let me check to see if I have any call. Not at this time. So we'll go back to that. Question number three. Could you give us an example out of your book that reflects your main idea? Reply. At its heart, my book is about why it's important for small business owners to own their commercial real estate. It's better to pay yourself rent than to pay a landlord and make him wealthy. So true. And then, how to go about purchasing commercial property in this smartest way possible. I walk readers through the process, explaining how to choose the right property, how to select the right professionals to work with, and so on. We live in a specialist economy, and it really pays to team up with specialists in the case the right commercial broker, lender, etc. can make all the difference. I explain how to find these professionals, what question to ask when vetting them, and things to watch out for could cause problems down the road. I also describe small business funding options, detailed the pros and cons of each, and I devote an entire chapter to what I call the best kept secrets in commercial real estate financing. This is how I bring the discussion full circle. Ordinary financing makes commercial real estate ownership a potentially good thing for small business owners. But this little no funding solution maximizes the wealth creation aspects. I've heard from more than a few readers and reviewers that they particularly like the vignettes I included at the end of each chapter. These are where I let past clients of mine tell their stories. why they went into business for themselves, why they decided to own their commercial property, what the experience was like for them, what pitfalls they learn about or avoid, etc. Hearing about these real life experiences and decisions has been helpful for other business owners, and a few have even suggested I put a second book together that will focus on stories like these. Next question. What other authors or consultants have influenced you the most in this area? Any books you would recommend? Hearn. Some of the authors that have influenced me were also kind enough to endorse and review my book earlier on. The Small Business Giants community is probably familiar with most of them. Bo Burlingham, in particular, has been a big influence on my understanding of what growth and success looks like from the small giant's perspective. Noam Brodsky is another I'd list as an influence. He's also written my Owning Commercial Real Estate on several occasions, including for Inc. magazine, and he even owns commercial real estate himself. Jay Gotts is a business owner and author who has actually utilizes the strategies in my book and owns multiple commercial properties. Several other authors who have influenced me in business and as an author are Tom Peters, Jack Walsh, who I used to work for, Seth Goodwin, Dan Kenny, Tim Ferriss, and my friend Neil Strauss. Next question. In a short sentence, what kind of small business owner should read your book? What kind of advice should they be looking for? Or what kind of problem should they be looking to solve? Reply. Small business owners who are for profit and not publicly traded should read my book because they will learn a great way to create wealth for themselves outside the day-to-day operations of the business. For too many business owners, confuses income with equity and get caught up in a growing and expanding and selling more and more in order to generate wealth. That may work for some businesses, but the majority will just get by with the mentality, making the decision to own their commercial property means they will have a significant asset in the future that has the potential to generate passive income along into retirement. Statistics show that 60% of small business owners in America haven't saved a dime for retirement, and this is really simple strategy that more business owners need to consider. Next question. On the other hand, who shouldn't? What will small business owners not find in your book? Reply. Businesses that are non-profit or public traded won't get much out of my book. at least not directly, they may find the idea I set forth helping at a really basic level, but the specific strategies I describe just aren't applicable for those businesses. This also isn't a book about sweeping philanthropies or strategies about business success. There's a bit of that to be found, but I've primarily written about one key component of business success and wealth creation. My next book will be geared more toward being successful in business in broader terms, already in works in that way. If you're just joining us, we are discussing entrepreneur success to creating wealth with Chris Burns from Chris Hearn's book. The next question is, you would like a small business. All right, we are getting there. I just want to see where we are. We are on the other hand. Okay, what's the first thing you would like a small business owner to do after reading your book? The first thing they ought to do is take me up on one or both of my bonus offers, including the book. The first offer is one-on-one consultation to discuss their options for commercial property ownership. While I think it is a strategy all business owners should take advantage of, it makes more sense for established businesses rather than startups or young companies. If a business owner would be better off served by preventing their capital, proving their concept, and establishing themselves in the marketplace, I'll tell them so and help them understand why. If the business owner is ready to proceed with owning commercial property and following the advice in my book, that's when the second offer can help. I will provide a detailed lease versus own analyst to help up to 10 commercial properties. These scenarios will help them see the benefits of owning and also which property makes the most sense for them when making a big decision like this. I do not think you can have too much information on hand. What is the biggest mistake you see small business owners making regarding their businesses? Hearn, first of all, I haven't seen many business owners waste too many years and tens of thousands of dollars, maybe even hundreds of thousands, making their landlords rich. Second, many business owners don't put enough time, effort, and resources into marketing their business, in my opinion. If you provide a quality product or service, people need to know about it, and the internet has made it easier than ever to communicate in effective, creative ways. Next question. What suggestions would you give to them to improve? What should they start? Where should they start? Hearn. For the problem of making the landlords rich, my book is a good start. For the marketing deficiency, I think business owners need to dive right in and take action. There are a lot of great books on this subject from people like Seth Godin, Dan Kennedy, Jack Trout, Ali Reese, to name a few. After reading a few books and gleaning some proven knowledge and ideas, they need to start implementing as soon as possible. I've seen too many instances of people being really, really good at their chosen profession, but unwilling to enable to market themselves and their products or services properly. This leads to a lot of broken geniuses. On the other hand, there are plenty of examples of people who aren't necessarily the best at what they do, but they know how to market themselves, and those are the people who become the well-known stars in a given field. For the record, I'd like to think that Marcelli does both well. We're really good at what we do because we focus on specific niche, and we also know how to market ourselves well to our target audience. At Kennedy's, we do a good job of this too. All right, I'm checking in to see my phone line. Okay, next question. What about managers in general? What do you think should stop doing if they wanted to improve their team's morale and results? Hearn. In my experience, the worst managers I have encountered are the ones who think they need to manage everything that everyone's doing. This ends up being more meddlesome than managerial and not very much help. I think managers ought to think of themselves as leaders. They ought to effectively communicate the goals of the project and then ask their team how to best accomplish them. They have to get out of the way or organize well forever to constrain and constrict it. Next question. Anything they should start doing more? Hearn. Again, from my experience, managers don't always do a very good job of connecting the dots. In other words, when someone is assigned a particular task, the end goal is not usually checking that task off the to-do list. The end goal is much bigger than that and has more to do with success of the organization than the task itself. For example, answering the phones is something that isn't seen as drudgery by some people, but in my company, it's a huge deal. The marketing we do has the express purpose of making that phone ring. And if we don't handle all calls appropriately, we risk losing business. It's important to see that the seemingly small task of answering the phones the right way, mind you, is part of a larger sales choreography that directly impacts the success of our business. Managers need to make sure the rest of the team understands these things so that jobs, big and small, are done with care and enthusiasm. It's part of creating a culture that allows and encourages people to be creative and work hard. Next question. Based on all your experience in this area, what kind of advice you see out there that you disagree with, think is wrong, and makes you mad when you hear someone giving it? Hearn, I'm not a fan of the improve your weakness school of thought. I believe you should focus on your strengths and surround yourself with people who are strong enough, are strong where you are weak. For instance, I'm not good with administrative tasks, so I put people around me that are able to manage schedules and calendars and keep track of things I'll likely lose. These strengths complement my weaknesses and vice versa. If I try to improve my weaknesses, my strengths wouldn't be as strong as they are. So true. Next question. Any additional compliment or thoughts for a small, giant community members? Hearn, one of the reasons I wrote this book is because I didn't think this kind of information is readily available in the marketplace. And I am passionate about entrepreneurs building wealth for themselves and helping to encourage more entrepreneurship. Our country cannot maintain its standard of living without innovation. And I think we are swiftly moving inward a period where self-reliance will be essential. Gone are the days of getting a job with a big company, working there as long as you can, and relying on a pension to take care of you. I want to encourage people to be innovative in finding solutions that have real wealth gets created, where real wealth gets created, and that's how our economy will grow stronger as we leave the Great Recession behind. Early on in the process of writing my book, I decided I wanted to tie it into charitable organization. I've partnered with Young Entrepreneur, YEF, and which helps to teach today high school students how to become tomorrow's entrepreneurs. However, someone buys two or more copies of my book, one to keep and one to give away, I donate the proceeds to YEF. Powerful, wonderful. And I tell you, I am going to get the book. And I hope that you will get the book as well. So let me hear from you. What are you doing to create wealth as an entrepreneur? There is so much information out there, and we need to just take access of what's there and become creative, because, you know, as a speaker, I know that there's a lot of people out there who is really waiting to hear our stories. And we sometimes are reluctant out of pride and shame. We are reluctant about sharing our story. But why don't we get busy? You know, craft our stories in a way that it can help each other. Everything that we are doing in our lives, and regardless of all the experiences that we are encountering, if we are willing to share them with somebody, they are going to help that person. How to create wealth? People always talk about how to make more money, but you don't make money, you earn it. And money, like all forms of true prosperity, is acquired by trading value. We create more wealth by creating more value. If you want to become wealthy, look for problems to solve. That's the truth. Find a way to lower costs, increase productivity, reduce turnover, speed up processes, eliminate redundancy, make more sales, keep more exciting customers, save time, hire smarter, learn faster, or any one of literally billion of things that would bring value to someone or someone else. The reason we focus on challenges in risky is the new safe, is because challenges are a beckoning call for a solution, and solutions are what make us wealthy. Ain't that the truth? You know, we just need to focus on what is our uniqueness, what makes us different. Because that thing that makes us different is what I've come to find out, that is what makes us marketable. You know, that is what makes us marketable. So why don't we focus on sharing that and really tap into that which we have at our fingertips. You know, it is we look around us and we see that there are so many people who are capitalizing on themselves, and we begin to think that, oh, they're doing such an, why aren't we doing that? We can do the very same. We just need to figure out what it is we have that we can use to make a difference in somebody's life or to solve a problem. There are many problems out there to be solved, and we just need to find out where we fit in and what we can do to help those people. Because as we help them, we are helping ourselves. Time for a commercial break. But before we do, I want to remind you to call in 646-915-8166.
AMD Law Group is an international law practice committed to assisting you in realizing your strategic business goals. Led by Ms. Aurelia Mitchell Durant, Senior Managing Partner, AMD Law specializes in international business, international intellectual property, and general internet law. We also support organizations in resolving corporate compliance issues. Addressing the legal needs of technology firms and other businesses serving both domestic and international markets, we are uniquely positioned to assist both startups and long-established organizations. Although AMD seeks to proactively avoid litigation wherever possible, we are fully capable and ready to litigate on your behalf. AMD Law Group. Find us online at amdlawgroup.com or contact us at 347-699-4AMD. That's 347-699-4263. Let us help you pursue and protect your dreams.
All right, so there is an opportunity to protect your stuff. And I have one more article here that I want to share with you. And this is someone that we are, don't matter where or wherever we are in the world, we know about this person and we have watched him escalate up the wealth ladder. And it's none other than Mr. Tony Robbins. And this one speaks about financial freedom, 3 steps to creating and enjoying wealth you deserve. Financial freedom, 3 steps to creating and enjoying wealth you deserve by Tony Robbins. What does financial freedom mean to you? Does it mean freedom from having to work, yet still being able to enjoy life without concern over money? Does it mean having your life's basic cost covered, where you are not worried about car or house payments anymore? Having more time to do the things you really want to do? Many people become overwhelmed by their idea of what it takes to reach their financial dreams. That it prevents them from taking the necessary actions to create their goals. Others have more than enough money, but rarely experience wealth. A place where they feel abundant, truly alive, and grateful. Where they are no longer concerned about anything except enjoying life and its fullness, sharing their wealth to benefit others. They have money and resource, but they don't actually feel wealthy. The key to experiencing financial freedom is the first understanding that no amount of money will ever make you wealthy. The secret to wealth is gratitude. When you realize that you already have the resources you need to bring your vision of financial freedom into reality, you look at the world differently. You make different decisions and you do the kind of things that actually put you on the path toward wealth you desire. Without fear or doubt that you really reach your goals. In order to obtain the freedom you want, understand that creating wealth is more than just crunching numbers, saving a certain amount of money, investing and making sound financial choices. 80% of success in any endeavor, include financial success, is psychological, and 20% is mechanics. Once you cultivate a mindset that gives you the ability to appreciate life despite obstacles and challenges, that you can implement the formulas and strategies necessary to build your money machine, a way for you to create income for the rest of your life without having to work, then you will have freedom to do the things that matters to you most. What you want to get out of these exercises is not just more money, but greater freedom, a greater sense of wealth, a greater feeling of abundance, the ability to do what you want, when you want, where you want, with whom you want, at the level of richness you truly deserve. Financial freedom is not just about finances. It's about creating and sustaining joy, happiness, and what feeling of being truly alive, living that extraordinary life that we all want to deserve. What does wealth mean to you? Wealth means different things to different people at different stages of life. It is unique for every person. For a kid in high school, wealth may mean having a car and enough money to go on a nice date. In the latter stages of life, wealth can mean living in your dream home, the ability to care for children, or travel the world. Regardless of the level of wealth you want, you won't get there until you actually know what wealth means to you. If you get caught up in someone else's view of what wealth means, even if you reach that ambition, you could end up working every day of your life only to get out of where you are not actually enjoying your life, all to pursue some idea of happiness in the future that you may not even be sure about. Define what wealth means for you. Based on the exercise given at the end of an audio, he has an audio with this. What is your definition of wealth? What would abundance look like for you right now? What are the qualities that really mean wealth and freedom to you? Use the space below to review and capture your definition of wealth so you know what your target is. And for those of you who are listening online, if you go to www.tonyrobbins.com/financial freedom, financial freedom workbook, you can download this PDF there. The next, the psychology of wealth. Wealth is first and foremost a mindset, the psychology that gets you to where you want to be. without being distracted by fear, obstacles, or any of these challenges. To get to what place of that place of true financial freedom, we need to keep in mind one of life's more core lessons. You never get beyond scarcity. You have to start beyond it. You have to redirect your focus away from what's missing and onto all the reasons you can feel wealthy now. When you do this, you open yourself to attracting the material wealth you desire. In the next exercise you'll see on the PDF, it's a create your gratitude list. Take a few moments to review all the reasons that you're wealthy, man or woman today. As an assigned at the end of the audio portion, not necessarily in the area of finance, but all the things you are grateful for now. The love of the people in your life, the material comforts you enjoy day that weren't possibly 5, 10, 20 years ago, having the choice and freedom of grandparents couldn't imagine. If you can get associated to all the things to be grateful for, it will put you in a different emotional and psychological state. And from that place, you will find abundant ideas, actions, and ways of interacting with other people. It all starts with this psychological and already feeling wealthy and abundant, so what are all the things you are grateful for now? Review the 7 types of wealth. Before you take the actual step toward hitting your target of wealth and define for by you, review the 7 types of wealth, including but not limited to financial wealth, that truly makes life feel rich, abundant, and joyful. So I'll give you time to get your paper in case you're not going to download this. And I will... Okay, so now we're back. Number 1, physical wealth. Having the optimal health and energy in your body that makes everything you do possible. Number 2, emotional wealth. Where you live emotionally is the quality of your life. If you don't have a great sense of meaning in your life, having lots of money won't do anything for your level of happiness and joy. If you live in the emotions of stress, frustration, overwhelm, and worry, much more than you live in gratitude, love, and a sense of making a difference, then life isn't Life just isn't as meaningful. Number three, the wealth of relationships. Who loves you? Who do you love? How do you and the ones you care about most treat one another? When you truly love someone, particularly in an intimate relationship, you will do anything for them. You are in abundance because you are not just trying to get. You are in total giving. Number four, the wealth of time. For most people, even if they have money, time is something that appears scarce. They are doing things that just don't matter to them. When you are really enjoying what you are doing, time seems to disappear in a good way. When you are not enjoying yourself, time crawls. When it comes down to it, time is an emotion, and it's one of the greatest sources we have. Number five, the wealth of work, career, and mission. The distinction between the three is simple, a matter of enjoyment. When you work, it feels like a task you have to do as opposed to wanting to do. A career, sometimes you choose to do because you get some level of satisfaction from it. But when you are truly living your mission, something you feel like you were born to do, it makes life more meaningful. Work is no longer work. It becomes more like play. Number six, financial wealth. Money can provide us more with resources and a certain level of freedom. If used effectively, but in order to create extraordinary quality of life, you can make it more important than your body, your emotions, your relationships, your time, and what you do with that time. Number seven, the wealth of contributions and celebrations. Progress and happiness comes from growing and giving. Getting outside of yourself by adding value to another people's lives. Contribution completes that feeling of being truly alive. But you also have to celebrate life successes, victories, and all the things to be grateful for. To reach the goals in life that matters to us most, we have to understand where we are right now on the mystery pyramid. How wealthy are you? And there's some questions I'm going to be reading off of this this form. And the question starts from, the reply starts from 0 and it goes up to 10. I want to welcome Ready for Change. I am now working on a document from Tony Robbins. It's a PDF. So if you're on your computer, which I think you are, you can go to tonyrobbins.com/financial freedom. Financial Freedom Worksheet. It's a PDF. I am now on this section that deals with that exercise, how wealthy are you? And let me come back to see whether or not, let me know if you're going to download that so I can wait for you and you could work alongside with me. Are you going to download the PDF? Just type in the box so I know. Or if not, I will continue. Okay. All right, you're not typing, so I guess you're probably not. So, well, let me just continue. Well, thank you, Ready for a Change, for joining us this morning. Okay, how wealthy are you? As discussed in the DVD portion, rate your current level of wealth in each of the areas of the mystery pyramid on a scale of 1 to 10. A 10 means you are exactly where you want to be. A 0 means you don't feel wealthy in that area at all. What's your level of energy? Do you have a strong sense of meaning, joy, and excitement? Where would you rate your level of relationship with wealth, particularly intimate relationships? Hint. If you are not in an intimate relationship, that would be a 0. Are you happy with the times you spent doing the things that matters to you most? In your work, job, career, or mission, where are you financially? Are you contributing to others and celebrating your accomplishments? On the following page, brainstorm 2 immediate steps you can take to improve your level of wealth in the areas where you score the lowest. And here we go. Number 1, physical. How do you score yourself in physical health? Score yourself from 1 to 10. All right? And for me, I am a 6 there. Emotional wealth. Again, from 1 to 10. And I'm in the middle. I'm giving myself another 6. I still have a lot of room to work on. Relationships. I am no intimate relationship, so there is a 0 there, as he had pointed out, that if you're not in an intimate relationship, it's a 0. So that's a 0 for me. Time, from 1 to 10, again, I am a 5. Work, career, and mission. I am a 6 on there because I'm working in my calling and purpose. Finances, I am a 4. Still a lot of work to be done in that area. And that's the reason we're doing this show this morning. Celebration and contribution, I think I'm a 4 there as well. All right. So moving on, if you're working on the worksheet with me, the next thing is a physical. And you have an opportunity to write two statements there that you want to work on. What is it you want to work on physically? I want to continue working on my diet and on my exercises and what I do each day. You know, I need to get into a routine of exercise. As an entrepreneur, we need to be experiencing optimum health. So I want to continue on my new lifestyle awakening, that what I'm eating, and I want to include some exercises. Emotionally, I want to increase the amount of meditation that I am doing, and just to stay focused on my spiritual well-being. Relationships, I am open to get into an intimate relationship. So I'm open for that, and I'm waiting on the universe to bring that into being. And I want to really be able to add value to that relationship. Time, I want to manage my time more effectively, and really to organize and manage my time more effectively. My work, career, and mission. I am working in my calling and purpose, and I have founded a nonprofit, and I want to put more time and effort into raising the funds to really launch the breakfast feeding program. Financially, I want to be able to start investing more and to really be compensated for the work I am doing, for what I'm really value and work. Contribution, I give to some organization, but I want to give more, and especially to the breakfast feeding program. I want to be able to give more there. The next thing on the PDF is the, if you're working alongside with me, the mechanics of wealth. The mechanics of wealth. This stage has been set for you to make that shift in your physical, in your psychology, excuse me, so you can define this area of your life called wealth. Again, no amount of money will ever make you wealthy. Wealth is primarily a matter of psychology. Once you understand how to be psychological and emotionally wealthy, then you can make the mechanics of accumulating wealth, how to take this inspirational quality and execute the actions necessary to create financial freedom. What do you physically have to do to get that to that place where you no longer worry about money? First, it helps to review the distinctions between what it means to be financially secure, financially independent, and financially free. Financial security, number one. What amount of money that covers food, housing, cars, travel, and basic entertainment. Financial independence, number two. Where do you have to work? And everything it covers. Number three, financial freedom. You don't have to work, and everything you can think of is covered. So again, I just got an insight to repeat this. Financial security. That amount of money that covers food, housing, cars, travel, and basic entertainment. Financial independence. Where you don't have to work and everything is covered. Financial freedom. You don't have to work and everything you can think of is covered. And here's another exercise. What does financial independence mean to you? Being truly wealthy includes all of life's intangible gifts. Loving relationship, living from a place of joy, spending quality time with loved ones, freedom to do the things that matters to you most, feeling like you are really living your life's mission, as well as material wealth. Now, write down what it would take for you to feel financially independent. On top of having your life's basic costs covered, food, home, entertainment, cars, etc., what else would you want to cover? What, making sure there's enough money for your kids to go to college and not being stressed about it? Weekend vacations where you enjoy life at a level you want? Taking care of your parents so you don't have to worry about them in their old age. Review the formula for financial independence. You'll never get financial independent or free by your earnings alone. You are going to have to create a money machine, a means of earning money while you are sleeping, so you are no longer trading one of the most valuable resources you have in life, which is your time, for money. You want to trade money for money. The formula for financial independence is spend less than you earn and invest the difference. Number two, reinvest your returns for compound growth. Number three, reach a critical mass of investment capital that creates the annual income that you want. Whatever you are investing in, whether it be cars, stocks, bonds, real estate, you're investing for income and not asset. The goal is to get to a point where the interest on your investments alone is a secure environment will be enough to cover at least your financial security. Then your goals of independence and ultimately freedom. In order to do that, you have to build a critical mass of capital in which the interests alone on that capital will give you financial independence you desire. The only reason to invest is so that you have an income for life without working. If you have a call, you can call in 646-915-8166, and I'll keep checking back at the phone lines. All right. Here's another exercise for you to do. Are you on the path to financial freedom? Are you spending less than you earn and then investing the difference? Why or why not? What actions can you take to save money so you can invest more? Can you cut back on going out to eat, cooking dinner at home, or bringing lunch to work? Renegotiate costly monthly expense like your cell phone plan or cable package? Meet with the tax advisor. Are you taking advantage of all the opportunities within your tax bracket? The three buckets of asset allocation. What if the income from your investment alone covered everything you would imagine for the rest of your life? In order to build an effective money machine, you must pick out a minimum financial goal for yourself, a specific percentage of your income that you are going to invest periodically, no matter what. If there's one thing you can do to avoid making potential devastating financial choices, it is the value of asset allocation. Even the sophisticated investor can have a hue and urge to put their compound earnings into an investment that might bring high returns, but could also have the highest risk of loss. Taking a big investment risk can quickly lead to financial disaster. Asset allocation is a single most important decision you are going to make to determine your financial future. Asset allocation means that out of the money you have to invest, you are going to create three buckets to allocate that money to. How much you choose to put in each bucket can vary depending on which stage of your life you're in. But the three buckets of assets allocation are: security bucket, the place where you put your money to invest that are secured by their nature. They won't give you huge compound return, but if you do it long enough, even in the initial return is small, in a long term, it is compound. Return grows and grows. Your first investment must be put into a security bucket. The types of cash you want to put into a security bucket is cash for 2 to 6 months, IRA, insurance, fixed income. The next one is growth bucket, where you would put growth investment. You have a much greater return on in the investment if the investment is successful, but there's also a much greater chance of loss if the investment doesn't turn out. The next one is a dream bucket, the material things you want in life, like travel, ownership of real estate other than your first home, owner of sports team, anything that you don't actually need to put, but would make you feel more fulfilled towards life. If you are playing conservative and are just starting out investing, you might want to put 40% of your investment capital into the security bucket and then split the rest between the growth bucket and the dream bucket, or the remainder into the growth. If you put the rest into the dream bucket, keep in mind that the return will most likely be significantly less than the security bucket. Okay, so we have 10 minutes remaining, and if I may say so myself, this was a great information today. I want to encourage you, go to Tony Robbins .com Financial Freedom, Financial Freedom Worksheet. Download it so you can finish this up. This is great. I'm going to download it and use it again. If you put nothing, you gain nothing. As the old saying goes, no risk, no reward. You may invest and lose, but if you don't invest at all, you already have lost because you haven't even given yourself a chance to experience the potential reward of investment. You'll never have a chance to build that money machine, and you will be less likely to experience financial freedom. There's the exercise. Please, please download this. This is great information. The three buckets and asset allocation. What is the ideal asset allocation plan for you? How would you allocate the extra money you save within the three buckets? Why is this right choice for you? And you have security, growth, and dream buckets. And to end, wealth, mastery, freedom, fulfillment. Most people in our culture have come to associate wealth only with money. But being truly wealthy means living a total abundance, free from anxiety concerning every area of your lives. The wealth, the health of our bodies, feeling joyful and loved, having the time to experience life, and the way we want to, doing things that truly matter to us, never feeling like we don't have enough money, and feeling totally fulfilled. But because our society tends to focus on scarcity, the things we don't have, most people become skeptical, pessimistic, scarcities, and cynical about achieving their goals, including the goals that most of us want, total financial freedom. However, what's really keeping them from fulfilling their dreams is fear. If they believe it's not possible to be totally financial free, then they'll never be disappointed by trying and not succeeding. It's a way to protect themselves so they will never feel like a failure. But the wall that protects us from disappointment also separates us from our dreams. The difference in how people's lives turn out in virtually every area of their life comes down to an emotional fitness, the capacity to take difficulties and challenges and convert them into lasting success. This is true for money and is for anything else. the mechanics of creating a money machine, a way for you to get financially free, are actually not difficult. But first, you have to make a psychological change that can not only get you there, but help you enjoy that place of freedom as well. No matter how much money you have, it's never going to be enough if you don't really master the parts within yourself that keeps you from realizing you are already wealthy with many reasons to be grateful. It is the source of gratitude that will inevitably help you attain the level of financial freedom you dream of and keep it. This kind of emotional and psychological strength will carry you through those times when the mechanics of creating financial freedoms are dull, frustrating, or tedious. If you can develop a psychology of resiliency within yourself, you give yourself many more opportunities to be successful. You are larger than anything can happen to you, including financial challenges you face. The richer you think and feel, the more abundance you attract. And when you are operating at that place of gratitude, it creates a different experience. The more successful, wealthy, and happy you become, the more momentum you gain. Other people become attracted to you and add to that wealth with more deals, more opportunities, and more experiences that leads down to the part of financial freedom. Wealth truly does start in the mind and heart. Once you are locked, that truth, unlock that truth of your psychology, the financial freedom that's only a dream now becomes a reality. This is your host, Dynamic Daphne, the Queen of the Empowered Soul. And I pray that this session today was helpful to you. So why not go out there, follow your destiny, and tap into that wealth that you deserve. See you on Sunday.
What's the place that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart? The plan.
head to say this in our faith to the Lord. And I need you to grab it in your spirit and say this. Thank you for showing.